ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, been a busy week for you, my friend. How we doing?
Yeah, no, a busy 2 weeks, man. It all caught up with me today. Well, I woke up this morning and they say, time to pay the piper.
Hey, man. That's what happens when you're a hardworking man. TD's just out there getting stuff done over the last couple of weeks. Got to appreciate
it. This is the way.
So, TD, I want to start with you on edge rusher because everybody, obviously, between now and the draft, is going to talk about Abdul Carter and pay attention to Abdul Carter, and deservedly so. But I'm curious if anybody else in this process has really caught your eye at that spot, maybe somebody you've seen at the Senior Bowl, maybe not, maybe it's somebody else in kind of the evaluation process here. But how do you feel about this class in general in terms of edge rusher?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Abdul Carter, that's the cream of the crop, but you look at some of the other guys down there in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, Shamar Stewart. He just, you know, at that size and the get off that he has was really, really impressive. And I like how, you know, he's violent, you know what I mean? So he can set that edge, but he also will get to the quarterback quickly. He has a variety of moves too. He showed them down there. Landon Jackson out of Arkansas is another one. He's just like a high motor guy, you know, think stylistically, Trey Hendrickson, you know, one of those guys that just, like, he'll get sacks, you know, after going hard for like 3.5, almost 4 seconds, you know, and then he finally gets the quarterback down. That's how Landon Jackson is. So those are a couple guys. Kyle Kennard out of South Carolina is intriguing. Like, you know, he's a heavy-handed guy that, you know, will set the edge as well, and he'll get you sacks. So there were a bunch of them down there, though. I mean, it was a really, really good class, a good group in the trenches down there in Mobile.
How about a receiver, TD? I mean, we've talked about, you know, Burden before, certainly. I know Bukvar from Ohio State kind of gets overshadowed because mm-hmm. Ohio State always has multiple guys, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, that guy's really good too. How deep do you think this class is? And anybody jumping out at you there? I know, well, Dante Thornton has done some things. Anybody down there that really has caught your eye?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I got to stop at Exos in Plano, Texas, while I was at the Shrine Week last week. And, you know, I saw Luther Burden training. One of the other guys that was training with him, though, was Matthew Golden. And, you know, he's someone that you're going to see start to creep up. Well, not start to. He's already done it. You know, he's at that top of the second round, bottom of the first. And if he runs well, watch out. And he will run well. Most of the guys from Exos do. So those are a couple guys you look at Shrine Week. You know, Will Shepard. I mean, listen, you know, Vandy to Colorado, and he went there. You know, he was there with, you know, LeJonte Wester, Jimmy Horn Jr., obviously Travis Hunter. Not a lot of footballs to go around, but he still put up impressive numbers. And watching him there, I mean, he's a legit 6'3", 6'4". You know, that size is it can be verified looking at him. He had a couple nice catches. I think you look at the Shrine Week, Ja'Cory Brooks, you know, out of Louisville, a beautiful route. He runs his route. It reminds me of Stevie Johnson, the way he runs his route. So if you think back to the Bills days, you know. You look at the Senior Bowl, there were a variety of guys. Pat Bryant, you know, a big, sturdy receiver, really good releases, catches the, you know, the ball in traffic. You look at him, Jaden Ivey, he was another one that was impressive. So there were a lot of receivers, and I think this is going to be a good opportunity to grab somebody late.
So, TD, we had Charles Robinson on our show yesterday, and he talked about how, you know, from some people he's talked to, would not be surprised if Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss and potentially Jalen Milroe out of Alabama could make some noise here and maybe creep up towards the first round in the draft. What do you make of, you know, we've talked so much about Sanders and Ward, and we're going to continue to, but what do you make of the quarterback class beyond those two, and how do you view a Jackson Dart or a Jalen Milroe in this process?
Yeah, well, you know, every year it's like Lion King, you know, where they like they held Simba up to the sky and they say, you know, you're the one. There's always every year they have a guy. Jackson Dart is the one this year. It was J.J. McCarthy last year. Excuse me. And it's just like, it's just how it works, you know. I was not impressed with Jackson Dart at all that first day. Neither I wasn't impressed with Milroe either. And, you know, the receivers down there, good thing they were able to create separation and show that, because they didn't have a lot of opportunities, at least that, especially that first day, to show that they could make catches. Because, you know, I video, it's on my ex. There were like 13 straight passes and one-on-ones, the ball hit the ground. And I was like, you know what, I'm done, and walked away and watched O-line, D-line, you know. The best quarterback I've seen over the last 2 weeks is Kyle McCord out of Syracuse. He has a big arm. He's not going to, you know, run for too many yards for you, anything like that, but he was very productive at Syracuse last year. And, yeah, he was the best one. But you talk overall, Will Howard, I was kind of disappointed he didn't participate, but I get it. He played very late, you know, winning the national championship. Those are the two guys I would put in there for the third quarterback.
Yeah, that's really interesting, too, because obviously Ohio State moves on from McCord
yeah.
to get Will Howard. And a lot of the year I was like, I don't know if that was a good move. McCord was really good at Syracuse. Obviously, Will Howard ends up, you know, winning it. But that is an interesting thought with those two guys. Yeah. Okay, here's another thought, TD, that a lot of people have thrown out there. The idea that, you know, I mean, I think the Titans, one way or the other, they're going to address the offensive line. There's going to be a new offensive tackle, maybe via draft, maybe free agency, maybe both coming in. Do you think it's on the table that J.C. Latham, that after all this, they end up saying, you know what, he probably is still better on the right side, and they go look for a different left tackle? Or do you think that's just, you know, fantasy football talk at this point?
No, I don't think it's fantasy football talk. Brian Callahan did say that J.C. is a left tackle, but I'm curious. Later in the process, I think that is a good thing to ask him. But here's the thing. Would you get a draft any of these left tackles high? And if you're not going to draft them high, I don't know that I would bring a rookie in and have JC flip. You know what I mean? I would say just go ahead and get you a right tackle. And one of the guys I will mention at the Senior Bowl, Carson Vincent out of Alabama A&M, shout out HBCUs. And he's a guy, actually, he had a rep against Shamar Stewart, and it was a really good one. They have a competition period at the end of practice, and they call him out, you know, and they called he and Stewart out, and he, you know, put him out the club. So he is somebody kind of along the lines of like a Titus Howard, like that type that you can take. He played left tackle, but you could flip him to right, and he could probably be productive for you.
TD, we all know, like, at some point here in this process, the Titans are going to have to find some help at receiver, and preferably from a younger guy. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the first round. But what do you make of a guy like Xavier Restrepo, who we've been asked about a lot this week out of Miami? What do you make of kind of the fit that he could be and what he could look like at the NFL level?
Yeah, I love that you bring him up. I talked to him for a while about playing the slot, you know, just creating that feel for space and understanding, you know, where to settle into windows and stuff like that. And you know, that dude has played a lot of football, you know what I mean? And he has a nice catalog of guys he told me he watched, you know, ranging from Julian Edelman all the way to Ja'Marr Chase. And I was like, okay, I like this, you know, and he's somewhere he's productive, you know, very reliable. And he's a quarterback's best friend. But you do have him now, a couple other guys that, you know, come right into play. When you mention a guy like Restrepo, you look at LaJonte Wester and the way he tempos his routes and, you know, how he's able to create separation, his quickness. He's somebody, I mean, he's only like 180 pounds, you know, but he's somebody that could work that middle of the field. You're not going to really get chances to hit him, but he'll get you yards after catch. And, you know, both of those guys, you have to see him in the return game. And I'm going to wrap it up with Tez Johnson, you know, when we're talking about Restrepo and those types. And that Oregon receiver, I don't care that he's 156 pounds. I do not care, because that little dude right there, he's going to catch it and he's going to go. And he's tough to cover. He was behind the corners down there consistently.
How much does he remind you of the kid from Louisville whose name is escaping me now, went to the Rams? Tutu.
Oh,
comparison?
Yeah.
Comparison
has,
there?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you had that comparison because they're both like really frail guys, but they play bigger than their size.
So anyone else this week, TD, just out of nowhere, you've been like, whoa, at whatever position it may be?
Just trying to think through here. Not that came out of nowhere. I was impressed with Ronnie Gadsden Jr., the tight end out of Syracuse. Arroyo, the tight end out of Miami, ran routes really well. He was impressive. No, I mean, it was – most of it was pretty much as advertised. You know, the guys you thought could play, they went down there and they played.
Well, TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Get you some rest after a busy couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. TD, our guest, joins us every Friday here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say, get back into the Titans and the quarterback discussion as well. We've got Preds Pick to Click coming later this hour. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I got a family four-pack of tickets to give away to the Athletes Unlimited Professional Basketball Games at Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, February the 5th. You get tickets to games 1 and 2, tip off at 5 o'clock. You can see Alicia Clark, Sydney Colson, and more. 615-737-1025, our number. Caller number 3. Caller number 3 will win a four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited Professional Basketball Games coming up Municipal on Wednesday, February the 5th. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, it's interesting. You know, everybody's going to focus in on, you know, Abdul Carter at edge rusher. I do feel like for the first couple of rounds here, there's some pretty darn good depth as it relates to edge rusher. You've got James Pierce out of Tennessee. You've got – he brought up Landon Jackson out of Arkansas, Shamar Stewart out of A&M, you know, the two Ohio State edge rushers that you've got. Like, there's some pretty good depth as it relates to edge rusher here. So, you know, obviously, if you draft Abdul Carter, that's one thing. If you don't and you're either picking high in the second round or you trade back from number one and you end up with more picks, some potential opportunities here to walk away if you're the Titans – with some difference makers at the edge rusher spot, which we know they desperately need. And look, maybe none of them are Abdul Carter, but I think a lot of them have a chance to be pretty high-level players in the NFL.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, Michael Williams, I was always, is it Michael or Michael? I think it's Michael Williams, right?
I believe you're correct.
And obviously, Pierce, you know, I'm going back to the big board, back to the athletic big board, and those guys are the two that are, you know, right after – Pierce is 12th on the big board. So three of the top, let me do some math, 25% of the top dozen players in this draft for this big board are edge guys. And then you have Jalen Walker from Georgia at 18. It's funny because I haven't thought about, you know, like Georgia really even the last year, but especially this last year, is like having that kind of just absurd NFL talent. And yet here we are with two edges in the top 18 from Georgia. Mike Green from Marshall is definitely a guy who gets a lot of talk, and a lot of people are excited about him. This is what happens, and this is where the texter who sent the dumb text earlier, I do agree with the point that what the Senior Bowl and the East-West Giant, what they can do is they can at least give you those guys from smaller conferences and say, okay, now go rep against, because your team didn't play. I don't know who Marshall played this year. I think they played Ohio State, actually. But, you know, you didn't play the greatest competition week after week, so now go and get some reps against these guys. And there's some value in that, for sure. So there's Mike Green, and he's like 23 on this. Yeah, Sawyer, 37. Landon Jackson, 44. Yeah, and I love Tui Omalau, and I may have butchered that, from Ohio State. I just think that guy, he's 45. Like, as a second-round possibility, I think he's really good. I just think he just makes plays, man. And the measurable sometimes don't – and it's Sawyer does too for Ohio State, by the way. And they're on loaded defenses, but there's the measurables, and then there's just the knack for, like, getting the ball out when you actually get your hands on the quarterback and things like that. Prince Umanmielen from Ole Miss. And, again, I may have butchered that. That's all. Those guys are all top 50 on our big board. So how many guys is that? A dozen?
That's a lot of guys. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's – this is a – everybody talks about this not being a very good draft. I feel like it's a pretty good draft for edge rusher.
There's always some positions that are good,
yeah,
right?
Like,
yeah. And that may be one of the stronger ones.
Right. And look, it when you break down every position, I would probably agree. Like, it's there have been some stronger drafts. But sometimes it just matters who you take. It doesn't matter what the draft class is like, right? Like, if the draft as a whole is weak,
if everybody
takes
the
good players, it doesn't really matter if you're the Titans.
Terrible quarterback draft. Okay, but did you get the one great one? Then you win.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what it kind of boils down to here. But I'm just saying, like, we all know they're going to have to address edge rusher, and it's going to have to come through the draft, in my opinion. So, I mean, you've got the opportunity to take Abdul Carter. I just don't think it has to be Abdul Carter to get somebody that can come in and help you. Like, look, I know that we watch a lot of Tennessee, but do you not think James Pierce can come in and help somebody in the NFL next year? I do. Like, I've watched the Landon Jackson kid out of Arkansas a lot. That kid's good. Like, that kid could come in and help an NFL team next year. Say, and look, there are going to be a couple of these guys that probably don't work out at the NFL level. Just statistically, that's how things go when it comes to the draft, and you're hoping that You do the best evaluation you can. You're hoping you're not one of them and that, you know, injuries don't sneak up on somebody, which it inevitably will in this draft. But I just feel like there are some guys that can be pretty good players at edge rusher in this league that are in this draft, and it doesn't necessarily just have to be Abdul Carter or bust at that spot.
Right. So I'm here for Abdul Carter. I like him a lot. Also, if it's first round, if it's quarterback. If it's first-round quarterback, or, you know, that's the thing. It's like, how far do you move down? If you do move down and all that stuff. But bottom line is, if it comes down to the only way they're addressing edge is with their second-round pick, I think they can address it very well. And I can't say that about a lot of other positions.
No, and look, I throw wide receiver in the positions that are interesting too. How many impact players are there? Like, first off, like, how good's Luther Burden? We've talked a lot about Luther Burden. Like, is Luther Burden, does he have a chance to be like an elite wide receiver in the NFL? Does the Tet McMillan kid have a chance to be an elite wide receiver in the NFL? And when you move it into some of these guys who are projected to go either late first or early second, like the Restrepo kid out of Miami right now. You know, he brought up Tez Johnson out of Oregon. Where those guys slot in terms of where they're going to go? And how many of those guys can come in and make impacts for you immediately? I mean, we've talked about their need for a young wide receiver. They're going to need whoever that is to be able to come in and play for you immediately next year. If they're taking one of those guys as high as I think they might.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no question. Well, hey, plenty of opportunity. Plenty of at a lot of positions, plenty of opportunity on this team more than others too. That's the league too. I mean, those picks that high, they've got to be impact starters. And if pretty soon, you know, pretty soon within that rookie season, if you don't have an impact starter, you probably messed it up.
Yeah, and I their wide receiver core in general is going to be interesting. Like, I feel like there's a lot of work to do there this offseason. I mean, you've got Ridley under contract. You know, Burks is hurt. But Burks at this point, like, even if he's completely healthy, I don't know how you could possibly view him as anything.
I'm actually amazed you brought him up.
Yeah, like, I honestly forgot he was there. And then I was like, oh, yeah, they do still have Treylon Burks under contract. But NWI is a free agent. You know, are you going to be able to successfully bring him back, or is, like, Vrabel going to sneak in and go get him? That's going to be interesting to see. But other than that, like, what's your room look like right now? Like, I don't think they're bringing Tyler Boyd back. You have some guys that you've had on the practice squad that I guess you could elevate. But it kind of feels like the whole room right now needs to be reshaped here.
I mean,
other than Ridley, obviously.
Well, an NWI. I mean, he should be in
he
there.
He should be back.
If you can, yeah.
But I would still say he should not be your wide receiver two.
No. Yeah, I agree. Wide receiver two needs to be there but bumped down.
Even though he did a nice job this year.
He did it. Really good. He did. Thank you. Thank you for giving him his respect. But, yeah, he needs to be. I would want him in the room for sure. If I'm the Titans, and I'd want him on the field some. But, yes, there's got to be another. I mean, an edge and receiver and tackle. There needs to be a prominent name at all of those three, whether it be free agency or draft.
And quarterback.
That, like, starts, comes right in and is starting and making a huge – so if can you make those four positions happen with, like, difference-making starters in one offseason?
Maybe that's what I was doing. You know, we talked about the show open to begin the show of how, like, it just sounds like I'm reading off the depth chart of positions.
All the bad positions.
Edge rusher, right tackle.
Am I just reading off all the positions the Titans need? Yeah. Probably a long segment doing that one.
Everything but special teams coach. Yes.
Who's going to be the Titans kicker next year? Maybe spend 30 minutes on that some point this offseason, too.
Logan Winters on the YouTube chat says, Treylon Burks is the worst football player that ever put on a pair of shoulder pads. I don't think it's quite that extreme, but it's a little bit tough. Yeah, the Cooper Kupp stuff out there, huh? I mean, he'll probably be somewhere else, but, man, I feel like that guy has been beaten to a pulp. Kind of looks like it, doesn't it?
It does.
Usually when that happens, it
would be
a
very Titans thing to sign, like, Cooper Kupp, and then he comes in here and gives you know, five games and catches six passes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it would be.
I will say, we talked about the veteran franchise, the veteran wide receiver franchise curse that this place was under for a while. Like, Hopkins was pretty good.
He was. He broke that. He broke that.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Preds Pick the Click coming up at 8:45. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got Preds Pick the Click coming up here in about 15 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Trevor on the text line says, if the Titans can't find a trade partner to move back, who are you taking on a non-quarterback pick? Who'd be the guy if they stick and pick and say they get a quarterback in free agency that you take?
It's actually a really hard question for me right now because I keep warming to the idea of Abdul Carter. But, you know, I think Travis Hunter, that's just – yeah, there's people in the NFL and analysts and whatever who disagree with me and think that Hunter needs to be a receiver. I feel like that's a pretty healthy debate with a lot of people on both sides of it. I feel like he's a corner and a great corner and an occasional receiver. And I still could make the case that, I mean, if Abdul Carter is that good, that much of a difference maker, elite corner, elite receiver, elite edge rusher. I would put corner third. It's just a question of, okay, but how elite? If it's truly that Abdul Carter is elite as a pass rusher, I'd be hard to pass him up.
I agree.
So I might be drifting that way. I want to address the YouTube chat real quick because I'm getting beat up for because I used to trash Deshaun Watson and all this stuff. There's all this stuff about Justin Tucker. Did you see that today?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Looks bad. It's one newspaper. You know, we'll see what happens. Doesn't look good, but obviously he put out a statement, an impassioned statement, defending himself and saying it's all BS and kind of laying out how the paper didn't do things the right way in terms of trying to get his comment and telling him what the story's about. So we'll see. But, I mean, obviously that's the Watson stuff, to be clear, and who is this who is – I got to make sure that I name this person. This is John on the YouTube chat. Was like, well, you had all these opinions about Watson. And the Watson stuff, it was Jenny Vrentis with the New York Times when she had the very detailed that took forever reporting on the stalking, right? Like the number of
people. So real quickly,
people.
Let's just lay out what the Justin Tucker stuff was that came out.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
For those who may have missed it.
That's a good idea.
So, you know, Tucker on the – so you bring up Deshaun Watson. We all know what's going on with Deshaun Watson and the massage stuff. Was it the Baltimore Banner? Is that the right
Baltimore
newspaper?
Banner.
Baltimore Banner has laid it out there. He's been accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by six massage therapists is basically the genesis of what this is right now. So that's the allegation that's been thrown out there on Justin Tucker.
It's very serious. The NFL, you know, is going to investigate and all that. It's the first day. The Watson stuff, to me, was kind of like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we don't know. I mean, you take it seriously. But when that came out, and then again, at the very least, what that reporting showed with, I mean, with receipts, not just with people putting their name on it, but also with receipts, legitimate, actual, literal receipts, was someone who it was stunning. And so that's where, to me, that took a left turn. Like, there's no defending him, even regardless of specific instances and what did or didn't happen. So we'll see with this one.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't look good.
Does not look good. So we'll see. Well, as you said, Justin Tucker released a statement yesterday kind of going through all this and is vehemently denying all of it. So it's kind of early into the investigation process of it right now. We'll see what that leads to on the Justin Tucker front. Going back to our wide receiver discussion, Joey from Bellevue throwing Bryce Oliver out there as somebody who has potential. You know, he got in some games at the end of the year, made a couple of catches, but like my sights are set higher than Bryce Oliver right now if I'm the Titans at wide receiver. They need more than Bryce Oliver. And look, continue coaching him, continue developing him, and maybe he can carve out a role on the team right now. But they need outside help coming in a big way at wide receiver.
Yeah, Bryce Oliver is a nice story and a guy who is trying to carve out a situation where he can play some in the NFL. I mean, it's just not – like, that. He's not – I'm pretty sure, and I understand what happened with NWI, but remember, that was after NWI's rookie year. I mean, Bryce, you know, I'm pretty sure that Bryce Oliver's not going to all of a sudden come out of nowhere and become a big difference maker. You have to get some new faces in there.
We got Caleb on YouTube asking the question out there. I feel like Cam Ward is going to be the best quarterback option available for the Titans. Your thoughts on that?
I've been Team Sanders of those two.
There are a lot of people, as more time goes on, Joe, throwing it out there like, why would you even question that Cam Ward can't be the number one overall pick?
Yes.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of that this week.
No, there are. There are definitely some people who think that there's a big difference between the two. And the way I look at it, which is higher floor, higher ceiling, higher floor Sanders, higher ceiling. If that's the way you look at it, then you probably should go Ward, right? It's just that I still like a high floor and some level of this is going to be a good quarterback. It can be a pretty good quarterback in the league. There is value in that. Whereas I think with Cam Ward, again, I think there's a higher ceiling and there is definitely the, whatever you want to call it, the hero ball Will Levis sort of concern, you know, that's there. So I don't know. I'm not drafting either of them if I'm at the top of this draft. And that's just how I look at it. I'm not drafting either of them because I badly need a quarterback. I don't think that they're that level of quarterback.
I don't think I do either. Although I will say, I've gone down the YouTube rabbit hole of Cam Ward.
Oh, it's
you can find some things where you're just like, my gosh, look at that. That's
no question. No question. Now again, I will show you the pre-draft Malik Willis video cut-ups.
Hey, Malik.
He is winging it around. I mean, he's got a big arm. Absolutely. But, yeah, I'm with you. Cam is – he's intriguing. And, again, tell me 5 years from now that we're talking about Cam Ward as a star in this league, just lasering the ball over the field. I don't have a shocked face. It's just like right now, based on everything you know – and I think Levis kind of probably influences this a little bit. You know, it is difficult, I think, to sometimes get that out of a player. If they get away with things at lower levels and then come to the league, I think with some guys they change, some guys they don't. Levis, you know, that was disappointing this year, especially after his rookie year when I don't think he really did that stuff that much.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jack in Englewood. Jack, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I know exactly what the difference is in drafting the two of them.
What's that?
You know, skill-wise, you know, they're within sight of each other, but the big difference is with one of them, you get a free circus and all the scrutiny in the world, especially if you bring Shadur in here and he gets killed behind no offensive line. The other guy, you'll have all kind of maneuvering room to let the man take a normal course of maturing into the role. That's the difference.
Thanks for the call, Jack. Appreciate it. I mean, we've talked about the Deion part of this. You know, there's going to be more attention on it. There's no doubt. Like, if you bring in Shadur Sanders, there's some attention that comes along with that. you know, how free flowing is the conversation going to be, like, from Deion's perspective? Like, if, you know, let's say the Titans draft Shadur and he's getting just murdered behind this offensive line for the first 4 weeks, are we going to be like halfway into the season and Deion steps up to the podium at Colorado and is like, guys, before we start today, you know, preparing for Texas Tech, I got to throw this out there. The Titans offensive line is total trash, and I've held my tongue as long as I can, and I'm just not doing it anymore.
Bill Callahan, get out. You're out of there. You're out of there, Bill. I will pick their next offensive line coach.
Look, I'm not going to say that he's not going to do that. I don't know.
I think this is all. This is actually, now I really regret our segment with Stilly. Because as much as I really don't, I think this is so overblown. Those Stilly and Caroline in their Jared versus Joe competition. Look at my air quotes, like Stephen Jones.
The drought.
Seriously, like Jared actually thinks that because of Deion, that's why Shadur is a prospect.
Well, I don't think that's true. I do not think that's true.
That's freaking moronic.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm sure. Or he wouldn't be talked about at the top of the draft if not for Deion. To me, it's that call tells you the opposite, right? That's what people are saying. It hurts him. The Deion factor is not viewed as a positive.
Yeah, like, first off, this is a interesting quarterback discussion anyway because there's such a wide variance on how good people think both of these guys are, right? Like, you know, we've talked about Blake Bedingfield as a second-round grade on Shadur Sanders. Not that there's anything wrong with the second round, but there's a huge difference between a second-round grade and number one overall pick. Those are two very different things.
Absolutely.
In this discussion. But there are some people that swear up and down that think that he's, you know, I joke about it, but Mel Kiper's got a number four player on the big board. Like, yeah. It's a huge degree of variance when you talk about the way people view Sanders and Ward.
Yeah, and what it keeps coming back to for me is, like, we all are, like, there's so many factors. First of all, I think early in a quarterback's career, if you're in a good place, you get protection, you don't see ghosts, you know, you have the right support, you have a coach who works with you, then you can flourish and find your full potential. And then so many potentially great quarterbacks just are in the bad spot. And so we just view them as busts. Well, that guy sucked. What if we put that guy in this spot? You know, if Joe Montana went to the freaking Lions, we would have never heard from him again. Same with Tom Brady. If Chuck Long would have gone – I always go back to Chuck Long. If Chuck Long would have gone to, you know, the Giants, then he could have been an all-time great.
Sean on the text line says if they draft Sanders, they're a lock for Hard Knocks. Maybe so.
Well, there you go. Then that's what you must do. I think you're probably right. You can – what's the rule? It's like you can turn them down.
If you've made the playoffs or if you've got a first-year head coach, I believe.
Those are the only two conditions under which you can actually turn them down.
Look, there's been so much talk about Hard Knocks, and I'm just like, good Lord.
Hard Knocks is absolutely – speaking of, you know, Mike Borgonzi, is he going to be Fonzie or is this scheme going to be Ponzi? Hard Knocks has absolutely jumped the shark.
Yeah, it has.
It really has. I used to be all in on Hard Knocks.
I will say the hilarity of – Mara in New York talking about, you know, I'd be really sick to my stomach if Saquon ends up in Philadelphia. And now that he's run for 2,000 yards and is in the Super Bowl, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, like you get snippets. Yeah. But honestly, I don't find it to be compelling must-watch TV anymore. I used to. When Rex Ryan was up there talking about corns on the feet. I mean, shoot, when Vrabel, the Texans won, Vrabel got on the screen and got in 19 F-bombs per 30 seconds.
The Ravens one where they did the impression of Shannon Sharpe, it was pretty good.
The Cowboys one with Campo as coach, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds Pick to Click coming up next. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the game tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We will do that next. Wrap up the conversation on the Titans as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Buffalo Sabres. Pregame at 5 o'clock here on 1025, the game. Puck drop at 6 tonight. Max Herz will have your pregame and postgame coverage. First half of a back-to-back. Preds in Buffalo tonight. They're in Pittsburgh tomorrow. No change to the standings in our Preds Pick to Click competition. Rex Road, 11 correct answers. The listeners and myself with 7. Nick Kieser with 4 correct answers. With that in mind, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in John to the program. John, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
It'll be Steven Stamkos.
Along with Steven Stamkos. Thank you, John. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Steven Stamkos off the board. Keezer, you're up first today. Your pick to click for Nashville.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Philip Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg off the board. Stamkos, Forsberg, Joe Rexroad, your pick to click for the Predators tonight.
Is that John from the YouTube chat? Deshaun Watson denied it. Duh. Oh, well, gee, thanks for the news flash, John. No, I don't think it was the same John. One with an H, one without an H. So we got Stamkos.
That's Keezer spelling. I mean, we don't know how that John
spelled. Oh, that is a good point. That is a good point. Did he tell you it's J-O-H-N?
Yes. Actually, on our spreadsheet that I keep for Pick the Click, it's J-O-H-N. So, okay. Yes. Sorry. Desperate times.
Keezer's got a spreadsheet. There you go.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm so confused right now. Okay. So we have Stamkos and Forsberg gone?
That's correct.
Why am I not first? Shouldn't I be first?
You were first last week when I was gone. And you jumped line, actually, to be first last week while I was gone.
Yes, so. You did.
What? How do you figure?
You were not supposed to be first that time.
It's a rotation.
And then you went first. But it's kind of my fault because I didn't give you the rotation because I was halfway dead.
So the rotation is like I go back to last, and then I wait, and then I go back, and I get to do it once every 10 times.
That's correct.
All right, Marchessault.
Marchessault. The selection. Stamkos, Marchessault, Forsberg off the board. Give me Svechi, Svechkov.
Ooh, we talked about him earlier.
We did. Svechkov will score tonight. Fedor Svechkov here in the competition. Stamkos, Forsberg, Marchessault, Svechkov in Preds Pick to Click. Preds in action tonight and tomorrow. A back-to-back set for them this weekend. Final thoughts on the Titans this week. There's a lot of prospect watching going on with the East-West Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl this week. And, Joe, the calendar about to flip to February, which means – we are just about a month and a half out now from NFL free agency, and then about 2.5 months out from the NFL draft. So I am interested to see a couple of things on the quarterback front over the coming weeks here. Is there any clarity on the Aaron Rodgers situation? With Aaron Glenn coming in with the Jets, I think, you know, as Super Bowl time comes and goes, how quickly does he come to a decision about whether or not he's going to still play football and whether or not he is going to be a member of the New York Jets? If he's not, and he does want to continue playing football, does that become an option for the Titans at that point? Atlanta, you know, Atlanta's made it sound like they're okay with having Kirk Cousins as their backup. That ain't happening. Nope. So I think we all know that he's going to be a free agent at some point here. So everybody else, like, you know, Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent. Justin Fields is going to be a free agent. I'm interested to see what Pittsburgh decides on the Russell Wilson front. But really, Wilson and Darnold and Rodgers, like, what more clarity do we learn about them in the coming weeks?
Yeah.
Rodgers is the one that has to decide whether or not he wants to continue to play football.
Yeah. And look, if he does and he's in the mix of possibilities, like you said, it's not like he had a terrible season. I wouldn't be excited about that one. He'd be down the list a little bit for me. But as a media person, he's top, right? I mean, he's top of the list for us, right? For the stuff that we could talk about here,
him or Shador,
that's true. Or the Rodgers mentoring Shador is definitely the best case media.
Hey, Rodgers was a pretty good mentor to old J Love. So
there you go.
He's done it before.
Although still
unintentionally,
still thinks he stinks now. One last thought I want to give Robbie. First of all, love the Haslam thing. WNBA, yep. The Tennessee Summit. Michaela Blake's 53 points last night. NCAA freshman record. SEC record. She is going to be one of the biggest sports stars in the country in coming years. First pick, 2028 draft, Tennessee. She stays in Nashville after 4 years at Vanderbilt, winning a national championship with the Commodores. She then wins WNBA championships with the Tennessee Summit. I'm not putting too much pressure on a freshman in college, am I?
It's framed. I'll clip it.
There you go. If this all comes true, then I want you to all remember I just said it.
Is that like one of Stilley's guarantees? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not guaranteeing anything, but I could see how it could work out this way. Okay. She's incredible. Go watch her at 2 o'clock Sunday.
Everyone have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday morning, 6 a.m. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.